We've just been looking at your show upstairs, and you were talking about how your processes have changed from the last show that you did here. Perhaps you could explain a bit about how that's changed.
Well, if we go back to the last show that I had here 3 years ago, the paintings then were basically done in one sitting, but over a very sort of an intensive period of time. So what I'd have to do would be to add very slow drying oils to the paint, so that gave me a longer period to work into the surface. And because of that, you know, I would end up probably working into the early hours of the morning, because it's you against the clock, basically, in terms of drying. If the painting didn't work, then it would be discarded and I'd start again. So there was a sort of a window, sort of a time limit that I had to sort of stick to and be totally focused in terms of how I made the painting. The most recent paintings have sort of changed somewhat in the fact that they're now built up on four or five different layers, so that I can work on that, let the painting dry, come back to it, add another layer. So there's a sort of, hopefully there's a greater sense of richness, a greater sort of depth in the paintings than were in the previous ones.
You were telling me earlier that you've moved away slightly from the more medical, biological type influences to more organic or fungal.
Yes, it's not strictly true, but I would say that I have tried to sort of modify things. Some of the earlier paintings certainly could have echoed viral activity. But at the same time, there was a strand of the work where I had introduced the grid. I think that was in the last show at Curlin. And, you know, the grid form was in some ways introduced for me to try and disassociate myself from the more sort of medical, biological, you know, microscopic sort of imagery. I think because of the history of the grid in painting, sort of allowed that to happen and sort of gave it another direction for the work to go in. Most recently, though, there still is an organic element to the work, but it is taking on other concerns, you know, which are to do with, you know, networks, communication systems, notions of what maps of the internet might look like. So there's a much more, there's an organic element, but there are much more sort of non-organic sort of systems working, and I suppose they're just meshing together, and you know, I'm sort of resulting in whatever paintings I've been making recently.
Mm-hmm. Your show at the Milton Keynes Gallery in London, you included an exhibition of some of the objects that you have in your possession that are visual influences or starting points maybe for your work. How did that go with in terms of how people understood your work? Do you think it was a good idea?
It was something that I always wanted to do, and it was the perfect space to do it in, because there were three separate spaces. So one space was full of the antiquarian prints and medical objects and natural history objects that I've collected over the last sort of 10 years. So it was an experiment. I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was something that I thought, well, I've got the opportunity to do it. You know, let's take that opportunity. And I think some people liked the idea of it. Other people were sort of not so sure. You know, what I wasn't trying to do was saying that every single object that I collected had some influence on the paintings, and that wasn't the case. There were certain elements of things that were in that collection which have been influential in the sort of making of the paintings. But I just wanted to show a sort of an overall view of things that fall within a certain area that I'm interested in, and then show that alongside the paintings. So I felt it was a success, and I was glad that I did that, yeah.
Okay. Looking at your paintings, there appears to be a kind of a tension between order and chaos, maybe, in that there are obviously biological influences in terms of cells and things like that, which are very ordered. And then there's a kind of a randomness about the way that the work appears. Is that something that you're aware of or that you're interested in?
There are notions of chaos and certainly organized chaos. I think that, especially in the most recent paintings, which have taken on ideas to do with the internet, maybe looking at sort of hyphal mycelium growths that you would get at the base of a fruit body of a fungus. Elements of that are certainly evident. And I suppose in some ways they're like fragments of something which is much bigger, which is not sort of finite. It sort of goes on and on and on. And a bit like, I suppose, again, just thinking about something like what a map of the internet might be like. You know, as far as I can visualize, if I try to visualize that, I visualize it as being sort of going into infinity, really, and never having an ending. So, but with that, there has to be some sort of order within it for it to exist and to sort of operate properly. But at the same time, it has a sort of very chaotic feel about it because there's so many points of access to the internet, really.
Okay. So where do you think you're going to go in the future with this? You're obviously moving in a particular direction, and you can see changes from your last show here. People who saw your last show here will see changes in what you're doing. What direction are you going in?
That's a difficult one to answer, but I suppose if you look behind you, there are two drawings, which I decided that over the summer I was going to sort of focus and do some drawings and try not to be overly precious about them and just see where that took me. And I was quite interested in the results. At this stage, the drawings, they're very embryonic, and I don't know how I would translate them into paintings, because obviously I was using a very different medium, you know, graphite on gesso. And there's lots of problems in terms of how I would try and recreate that on canvas. But it's certainly opened up other possibilities which, just by using paint at that time, wouldn't have... I don't think I would have come across them. So it's been interesting for me to sort of go down that avenue and investigate it. They're taking... Again, it's going back to ideas of mapping and sort of, at the same time, introducing the grid image, which is something that I've returned to periodically over the last 10 years. So it's very early days. You know, within those drawings, I've also been looking at topographical sort of maps and introducing images from those in a very sort of subtle way. And I suppose some of the earlier drawings were too collaged in a way. They looked too obvious. And I think, as I said, by reintroducing the grid, it's helped to introduce that, but in a very regimented way, and sort of has disguised some of the obviousness of the symbols that I've been using.
Mm-hmm. And what about the drawings as an end in themselves? I mean, are you only interested in bringing them to that larger format, the painting?
Well, no, you know, they exist in their own right as works, and possibly they won't translate into paintings. You know, maybe that is their finished state, is pencil on gesso. I can't really answer the question because it's something I really don't know until I start to experiment with trying to take that imagery and put it onto canvas. I just won't know where it's going to go, really.
Okay. And speaking of the internet then and things digital, are you interested in digital work and work being hosted on the internet and those kind of ideas? Because it's something, it's a new medium for artists, isn't it?
Digital art. Yeah, well, I think it was only a matter of time before, you know, just taking photographs and manipulating them became a sort of an area for artists to explore more of. In fact, I've actually explored that myself as well. I did a project about 4 years ago with another artist called Nikki Hurst. And because we have sort of areas of interest in the medical sort of field, that's why we were chosen to collaborate on a project. And we ended up taking a series of photographs and manipulating images on that, or adding images, to sort of come up with the finished product. So that was a very exciting area to have worked in, which was totally different from my painting sort of discipline, and it just enriched, you know, it just added another layer of possibilities that you could do in art, really.
And what about the internet then as a medium for selling work for artists? How do you feel about that?
I think the potential is great. It's really untried. In fact, I'm going to be making a print through iStorm, who are actually selling multiple editions of prints or limited edition videos or sort of objects. It's difficult to know. You know, there must be a market because people use the internet so much, and I think also if you can reach out to a lot of people out there and maybe try and sell them something like a print, which might be £300, it suddenly becomes within reach. You know, whereas something that's over £1,000 plus is not so reachable for people. Mm-hmm. So everybody can have access to something mm-hmm. at a sort of much lower cost.
Although iStorm is obviously selling things that are over £1,000 too.
Oh, yeah, very much so. You know, but I like the idea of possibly making a limited edition print that's maybe a run of 300 and selling for £500.
An artist then very much has to rely on their name because people can't actually tangibly see the work if they're going to order it online. It's a question then of kind of branding yourself as a brand, isn't it? If people, you know, because the way the internet is going, people want what's trendy or whatever.
Right.
And if they know your name, then they may buy your stuff from this website. But even if they haven't seen it, maybe.
But what it does do is, you know, if they've got access and they see your image for the first time on the internet, you know, it's at that point that they can either dismiss it or even get more interested. You know, I would hope that, you know, from what iStorm are saying, that they will commission people to write a piece about the artist and what they've tried to do. And so that basically gives people more information. And I think from that point, they can do more investigation if they feel they have to. You know, it could be that then after that they try and contact the artist's agent and maybe explore more possibilities of what the artist is actually doing.
And then I suppose maybe enter a gallery that they mightn't have entered before.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think it would certainly reach out to people who are very busy and on planes all the time and really don't have the time to sort of run to the West End or East London and sort of, you know, find out where these galleries are. Mm. You know, I think, you know, just if you have a laptop, it just opens the possibilities. You know, I think it's got great potential, but, you know, time will tell, really.
Mm. Okay. I was going to ask you a bit about the Sensation Show as well. I'm not sure, I don't know very much about what your work was in that, but there's a whole movement going on there in terms of groups of artists, and do you feel yourself to be part of all that, and it's also part of iStorm?
It was very good to be involved in the Sensation exhibition. You know, in terms of placing yourself, you know, I think there are a group of artists within that possibly I don't feel sort of part of. But at the same time, I don't like to actually fit into any particular camp. And actually not being sort of focused here or focused there. You know, I think if you can branch into different groupings, overlap, then I think that's much, much happier with that, rather than being sort of labelled.
Okay.
But saying that, it was still interesting to be part of that exhibition.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.